19, Luke chapter 19. It is good to be with the people that we want to laugh, we want to enjoy life, and this message is really just, it was the perfect timing for my heart. Ministry's been hard for me the last few weeks, for no reason. Ministry, and when you serve the Lord, it can sound negative, but there's a grind, there's a daily faithfulness, right? It's not so glitzy. Every moment of our walk with Christ is not so glitzy and glamorous, and we just need to be steadfast. And I've just it's been hard for me, and I internalize things and I pain for things, and this morning's message was for me, and the key is that I can put my eyes on the circumstances, on the troubles, on all of that, and they're real, and we need to care. We need to pain. I do believe we need to pain, but not to the point that it becomes hard. We talk about this all the time. You know, you want to honor Christ. It is the narrow way. It's the more difficult way. Not salvation is by faith, but it is. I so needed this. And when I came to this passage, because, you know, just if you're struggling just with, with the joy of the Lord, you know, so when things become hard, I think we forget about the joy of the Lord. And when I came to this passage, my first thought with this passage is, oh, everybody knows Zacchaeus. What is in this story that is going to help anybody? And then God says, how about it helping you? And I'll share with you just the delight of the Scripture. Don't let the Scripture be too familiar that God can't minister to your soul. And don't you worry about me. I do. I'm pretty open and transparent. At risk. I sound more flighty than I am. I'm not. I'm an open book many times, and I love what I do. I love what I do. Don't you worry about me. Don't you worry about me. I just need to do what I'm going to preach today. And the Lord is amazing. You heard a little bit of it in the wedding yesterday. It's why I preached it in the wedding yesterday, the glory of Christ. And if I just focus on the glory of Christ, ministry won't be difficult. It might be hard. There's a difference. But ministry's really not been that hard for me. And anyway, let's read Luke 19, verse 1 through 10. And Jesus, Luke 19, verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, saw Zacchaeus, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he, Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that Jesus was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this home, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Title of the message this morning, The Zeal of Zacchaeus. As I was I needed to be refreshed in the Lord. And your prayers are always so helpful, so important. I tell you this all the time, I don't really want encouragement for you because I'm words of affirmation and I'll believe it, it'll mess me up. Don't tell me anything positive. I'm dead serious. I need to find my encouragement in the Lord and not you. I know you love me. There's no doubt about it. I am the most blessed pastor in the United States of America. I believe that. I found some out of the United States that are more blessed, but no, I'm the most blessed pastor in the world. But it is, so I'm dead serious with that. I know you love me, and I know, but I need to find my strength. I need to find my encouragement in the Lord and not in what people say, right? I have to live for one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just telling you, I'm being honest. We struggle with that, do we not? We struggle staying focused. We struggle. My life, everything I do, everything, everywhere I go, everything I do is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you pray for me that I would just love and enjoy Him. And that's what this whole passage is about. When I came to this passage, I thought, it's so familiar. You know, everybody knows the song, right? You want to sing it with me? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Deep up in a sycamore tree. Lord, he wanted to see. And as he Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Well, see, I knew you all knew the passage. Let's close in prayer. But I wanted to look at Zacchaeus this morning, and it was just interesting. We looked at Christ last week, and we want to learn about Jesus, and Jesus is all over this, the goodness of Christ. But here we have this man, Zacchaeus. Look, if you will, he's in Jericho, and we talked a little bit about the city Jericho. It was a city of wealth. It was 17 miles from Jerusalem. It was just a fertile land, and a historical land. And remember Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, and remember then Joshua cursed Jericho, and he said, whoever builds on this will die. And the Bible records that the man and his son that built a city in Jericho again, they died. And so this Jericho is probably outside the mainstream Jericho, but Jericho today, if you go to Jerusalem, includes old Jericho and this newer part of Jericho. But here it says, look at verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So I've told this before, I won't belabor it. Publicans were tax collectors. They weren't like the IRS today, but publicans in that day, they could enrich themselves by just extracting money from people sinfully. They would have a responsibility to pay Rome X amount of money, and if they could get you to pay more, then they were the ones that profited. They had the power of Rome behind them, and if you didn't pay, they would maybe sell your children into servanthood until the debt was paid, or even worse. So they had the authority of Rome, and they were the hated of most people, because when you deal with people's money, you touch their money, man, it gets sensitive. It really does. And so here's the thing, he was the chief of the publicans. So they had a rank order, and Zacchaeus was the top dog. And he was the chief. And the Bible says he was rich. Remember Jesus a few weeks before from our study, he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I love this story because he says it's not impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven because it's by grace through faith. You see, rich people can be saved, but with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so Zacchaeus, look at this. I want to show you what I just see from Zacchaeus. I see great desire. Look at verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. There was a crowd. He couldn't get there, and he is small because he was of little stature. And so he had great desire, and just simply, he sought to see Jesus. And so as I grind, and I ministry shouldn't be a grind, but there's a grinding part. I'm going to, by God's grace, this is my mentality, I want to do what's right, whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, whether I feel like it or not. I'm not going to base my life on feelings. I'm going to enjoy my emotions. I'm going to enjoy my feelings. But by God's grace, I want my life to do what's right. And every time I do what's right, I'm glad for it. So I don't want you to examine, you know, the Bible studies that I have and say, man, he didn't want to be here. No, I'm always glad that I was there. I want you to understand that. But I want to set up my life, not that it'll be so fickle that I'm like, what am I doing today? No, it's why I schedule things. I want to do it. But here's what I want. I want to have great desire. I want to have what Zacchaeus has. I want to have this desire that says, Jesus is glorious. I don't want to just open my Bible because that's the right thing to do. But you know what I tell you to do? Open your Bible and study it and learn about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. We learn about Him so we can understand how we honor Him. You should do that. You should do that whether you feel like it or not. But here's what I would pray for. Oh God, give me a great desire. Give me such thirst. And I would pray that every day for the rest of your life until He gives you thirst. Until He puts spiritual salt on your tongue that you can have no other way you'll satisfy it other than by the washing of the water of God's Word. Ask God. Oh God, I'm bored with You. I'm bored with the Bible. Be honest. And say, oh God, I want great desire. I want to see You. I want to know You. And I'm not looking for anything magical. It's not a fireworks. It's not a feeling. You know what it is? It's just discipline. And it's just really getting to know Him, because the more we know Him, the more we'll love Him. When we really focus on Christ, how can we not love Him? He's that wonderful. You see, what happens is we get our eyes off on the circumstances. We get our eyes off on the difficulties. We get our eyes on the struggles. We get our eyes on the hardships. And that is going to be part of life. And what will happen is we will suddenly lose our desire, our luster, our thrill, our excitement. I'm not even trying to make Jesus that. It sounds like an amusement park. That's not what I'm trying to make Jesus. I'm just telling you, we ought to be excited. It's why I love weddings. I mean, Joe and Phoebe, man, they are in for a great life. And they are. And but it's just good. You know why? They can see no wrong. And they all have warts. And you know what they need to do is remember how they came into marriage, how much they loved one another, how excited they were to be called Mr. and Mrs. Joe Garrison. Because if you're not careful, you can forget how good it is. And so many of you, you have awesome spouses. And I will tell you this, for those of you that don't, then don't put your eyes on the circumstances, keep your eyes on Christ. You and I, we need to see Jesus. Do we have a great desire to see Jesus? Zacchaeus did. At this moment, I believe Zacchaeus was lost. You see there in verse 3, it said, and he sought to see Jesus, who He was. He had heard about Him, I'm sure. That's what piqued his curiosity. The crowds might have piqued his curiosity. And he may have heard the message, because he is saved by the end of this passage. And so you're not saved without understanding the gospel. You're not saved without faith in Christ, who He is and what He would do for you, that He would substitute, He would die for you, he would then rise from the dead. Zacchaeus is saved the same way you and I were saved. So, but it looks like he didn't fully understand that in verse 3. But here's what he had. He had great desire to see Jesus. It's just, these are so simple thoughts today, but it's so good for me. Are you discouraged today? Is your Christian walk hard today? Is your Christian walk, is it a grind today? Was it difficult for you to get up and come to church today? That doesn't make you a bad person. That just makes you human. You know what I tell you to do? I'm glad you're here, whether you want to be here or not. You should be here. I'm not trying to get more rear ends in the seats. You should be here because Christ is worthy. And you know this? I believe this. Every single believer, when you do what God says, you're always glad when you do what God says. But what we do is we make things up. It's going to be so rough, right? And then what you find is, it's not. I've asked God just this week that He would give me a fresh desire to see His Son. I'm not talking in any magical, mysterious way. Just that in my own heart, I would see the glory of Christ. I've just listed a few verses here. These refreshed me. I hope it does you. I just wanted to find verses about the goodness of Christ. Jesus is amazing. Just let me walk you through a few verses, right? John 10:11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know what I love? I need the Lord. I need the Lord to guide me. Yeah, I'm an under-shepherd, but he's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And you know what? I need him to lead. I need to stop worrying about all the things that I can't control. He's the good shepherd, and he's the perfect shepherd, and he gave his life for me, and I can trust the good shepherd. He will lead me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. I know the good shepherd, and I can trust the good shepherd, and I'm going to delight in the good shepherd. I just want you to understand this. Jesus is amazing. It doesn't mean that life's not hard. I don't want us to stay in that rut of discouragement, stay in that rut of negativity, because what we need to remember is he gave his life for me. I am saved. I'm born again. If you're a Christian this morning, it doesn't get any better than that because of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Christ, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Nobody's loved me like Jesus. Nobody's come close to love me like Jesus. I absolutely love our church. If you ever get any feel or thought that I don't love this church, I love this church, and I'll love this church when I'm not a pastor. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for every one of you. And I know I am I'm a driver, I'm a pusher, and I'm working on being a gentle driver, a gentle pusher. But I will tell you this. On my worst day, I'm a Christian. Christ, he became poor that I might be rich. What do I have to complain about? Nothing if I remember whose I am. You see, when I forget and I lose my great desire to just be with Christ, to see Christ, and I'm just talking in my own heart and just rehearse these things and see the goodness of Christ and focus on the good things. There's a lot of tragedy that happens in ministry, a lot of hardships that happen in ministry, but if I need to be here. Who else should be dealing with it? I should be dealing with it. I should be thrilled to deal with it. I need to be happy to deal with it, and normally I am. It just became a little bit harder because I'm convinced, Noah, I got my eyes on the difficulty and I'm like, what difference have I made? Those are the questions that go through my mind. You hear the problem already. You could get up here and preach a sermon. The error of pastor's thinking, right? What difference have I made? You know this? No, it's like this. I'm going to trust in Christ. And you know what? I just need to be faithful. I need to help. I need to teach. I need to love. And I need to be broken when other people are broken and not make it about me. You follow me? And not blame the Lord either. And so I want to tell you that Christ is glorious. Just look at this in John 1:16. Of his fullness have all received in grace for grace. It's one of my favorite Bible verses that not people know what it means. And the Bible says it's the greatest moment of history when Jesus put on flesh and came to earth. Because if he didn't come to earth, he could have never taken my punishment for my sins. He could have never died for my sins. He could never rise again. And when the Bible says, of his fullness have all received in grace for grace, I always want to be in awe that Jesus came to this earth because he loved me. It was as though I was the only person that he came to earth for, because he took my specific punishment as though I was the only one he was dying for. He came to earth, he put on flesh so that Steve Hall could live with him. Are you saved this morning? Of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. There's no other passage in the Bible that says grace for grace. This is the only one. We are saved by grace. I think we should be saved by grace for grace for grace for grace, but we're saved by grace. But his arrival was grace for grace. It was undeserved times undeserved. And what the Bible says is you can't even imagine the goodness of God, that he would come, that he would love us, he would love you, he would love me. And so you know this, I'm just preaching to myself. You know why? I'm going to get more encouraged the longer I talk about Jesus. The more I talk about my troubles, my problems, the issues that I, you know what? I'll be like, no, right? But I want to tell you, Christ. This isn't just religion. The world says religion is a crutch. Absolutely it is. Jesus Christ is real, though. He came, he died for me, for your sins, and he rose again. Are you excited about him? What time is it? We're almost done. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to help us. He came to serve us. And we ought to be servants. I love this. When I need help, the Lord says, just call me. Just call me. It's amazing. It's amazing, the patience of God. You got to understand this. When I say this, I really believe this. God is more patient with me than anybody in this room. I have more responsibility. I know the Word of God in large part, but there's much more for me to learn. I haven't arrived. I'm not saying that. My life ought to be far different than it is today, and he loves me. And he still loves me, and he'll serve me, and he'll help me, and he helps me every single day. You know what? I love these passages. When I came to this passage, I'm like, this is so terrible. I was dreading preaching Zacchaeus. You're like, what? One of the most popular Sunday school lessons of all time. That and the feeding of the 5,000, maybe, right? Daniel in the lion's den, maybe. You know, they're top 10, right? And what I love about the Lord, this is how good he is. I couldn't wait to get in the pulpit today to preach about Zacchaeus. Now, that was a message that I was like, I don't want to get in the pulpit and just pass the time. I'm not interested. I legitimately, it's because of the goodness of God. I want you to understand that. He ministered to me this week and he said, you have no idea. You better get this passage in your heart before you can help anybody else. You need to focus on Zacchaeus. Are you like Zacchaeus? And the answer for me is, no, I'm not. And he said, how about you learn from Zacchaeus? And God was good to me. I just want to show you some more verses about Jesus Christ. This is a popular passage. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I need to flee to the Savior. I need to get my eyes on the Savior. I need to have a desire to see him. I want to remember Zacchaeus. I want to remember his resolve. He would not let anything get in the way for him to see Jesus. We, boom, little bump in the road. Ah, Jesus wasn't worth it. It was for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I want the spirit of Zacchaeus. Jesus will give you rest. Are you struggling? Life is hard. That's why I love the Bible. God does not pull punches. He's not saying that when you get saved, everything will be roses. He says, when you get saved, you will have peace. If you keep your eyes on me and you rest in me, but life will be more difficult if you're going to follow him. But it's better. But when it gets more difficult, if we don't keep our eyes on him, then it can be a grind. John 6:37, Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Jesus won't reject you. If you come to Jesus, he will not reject you. That is so good. I can be a little moody. Was it that funny? Who laughed, you know? I've only had to admit that in my later years when all my kids say, yeah, Dad, because I don't like moodiness, right? I don't. Here I am, Mr. Moody. And some of you have probably dealt with me, and I'm like, I'm not dealing with you. Jesus won't do that. Isn't that good? There's one person that you can come to, and he will not reject you. It's Christ. I don't know what your troubles are. I don't know if you're just struggling with enthusiasm for Christ, but you just need to search the scriptures and remember how good Jesus Christ is. That's what Christianity's about. It's about Jesus Christ. I know this is so terrible. How can a pastor forget about that? Because it should be impossible. But what happens is we can just let life overwhelm us. And I didn't let Jesus carry my burden. I didn't let his yoke be light. I want to have the great desire. Second, I want you to see this with Zacchaeus. Great effort. Great effort. You see, I love this. It's I'm going to talk about this when I have our message next Sunday for Father's Day, diligence. The theme is going to be diligence. And we don't get to heaven because of our work, but I'll tell you this, after we're saved, we need to be diligent, and we need to subdue this flesh, and we need to be focused on Christ, because there's a million reasons to not. Look at verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. I want you to understand this. When you know what God wants you to do, you should run to it. Not just casually saunter your way down. Right? I know we have to go slow with the wedding. That's difficult for me because I think we ought to do everything fast. You know, I told my kids when they grew up, I said, do it well and do it fast. You got all these tasks to do, right? I mean, doing the dishes. Don't you do it well and then learn to do it fast. Never sacrifice quality for speed, but I like speed, right? I mean, you know, this is kind of my life, right? What determines where I eat? Quantity. I like food. Value and speed. I don't know if it's known, I eat frozen sausage. Cooked, not raw. Okay, just so you know. And I love Elia. I just trained her the other day. It's so good, right? So we had grilled out the day before, and we had some hot dogs in there, and Deb said, hey, can you feed the kids? Here's a hot dog. Ellie and I, we dined finely, cold hot dogs. That's the way to do it. It's not worth the 30 seconds in the microwave. And, so I struggle with the wedding. I love Steve. I love Steve. Steve was struggling with this, right? Steve was like, you know, as he's walking down, I so enjoyed that yesterday, trying to go slow, because it's like, you know, but Zacchaeus, he ran. I want to ask you this. Are there things you know God would have you to do, and you're just holding back? The problem is your perspective of Christ. He's not worth you running to do what's right. God convicted me just over this message. I need to go back and sprint and pursue Christ like I'm just saved. I love newly saved people. Typically, when they see in the Bible, they'll say, yeah, let's do it. They run. He ran before Jesus. He climbed a tree. He didn't let anything get in the way. He said, whatever it takes, I want to see Jesus. The problem is, in the 21st century, anything will derail us, me included. And that's why we're unhappy. We don't have the enthusiasm of Zacchaeus. I really think we'll get calloused, we'll get dissatisfied, we'll get unhappy. And Zacchaeus is my new hero. I've never looked at Zacchaeus this way before. I've told you I've never preached Zacchaeus before. I've read it untold times. But, you know, when you just read the Bible, you don't sit back and just pause and think about it. It's far different than studying it, far different than teaching it, far different. Zacchaeus was a great example. I think that's why God gave that to us. Great desire, great effort, no hesitation. Zacchaeus said, I will run. I want to see enthusiastic obedience. Enthusiastic obedience. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You know, I love this, right? We've had some toddlers. I'll speak in code here. You guys will know the code, but the one that's here won't. We've had toddlers, and you all know what toddlers do. When you say, make haste, they're like, slow her down. Right? But they've learned there's a new sheriff in town, and it's been good, right? So it's but you know what? Christians, we are just like toddlers. God tells us something to do, and we do the opposite. I told Callum last night, Deb, they call her Mimi, and I said, Mimi is awesome, and he went, no. If that meant Papa was better, I didn't fight it that much, but it was, you know, and he loves Deb, and Elia loves Deb. But you know this, it's Romans 7, that our flesh is at enmity with God. Jesus said, make haste, Zacchaeus. I could hear us. Well, Jesus, you don't understand these sycamore trees. They're a little slick. And I'm a wee little man. There's going to be a song written about me that says that. And Jesus, I need to take my time getting down. What did Zacchaeus do? Look at verse 6. And he made haste. And he came down. And then he received him joyfully. You know, when Jesus gives us instruction, we ought to do just what he says. He said, make haste. You come down. He did it, and he did it with joy. You want to have a different Christian life? You can be a Christian that does what God says with an unhappy face. Or you can be a Christian that does things and you receive him joyfully. And I want you to see this. If you asked me, this is when Zacchaeus was saved. Verse 6. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now, the Bible doesn't clearly say that, so just because it uses the word that he received him joyfully, that does, Zacchaeus is saved in this passage. Would you agree with me? All right, that's when I think he's saved. He said, he is worthy. I will receive him joyfully. And I think he received him in his heart. See, it's not words. It was faith. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus would do. And he said, I will receive him. I want Christ. And then what you'll see is you will see dramatic repentance. You'll see fruit for repentance. I want to be positive. I want to be positive. I can be so direct. And I want to be direct, but as everybody describes me, not brutally direct. But the Christianity that I see in the Bible, I first need to examine my own heart. Do I see that in my own heart? Do I see something that's dramatic? Do I see something that immediate? What I see in the 21st century with my own heart many times and with people that tell me they're saved is a casual thought of Jesus. That, you know, I've got Jesus, don't worry about me. I just don't go to church. I don't give. I don't tell people about Jesus, but I'm a Christian. I can't find that in the Bible. What I find in the Bible is the fruit meet for repentance is what Zacchaeus does. This is crazy. Look what Zacchaeus says in verse 8. But first, I want to show you this verse 7. Zacchaeus stopped worrying about what other people thought. Zacchaeus knew everybody hated him. Zacchaeus knew he had earned their hatred. Zacchaeus had sold any care for what people thought. He sold it for money. He said, you know what? I don't care if you like me. I'm rich. Poor girl, right? Won't be loaded when you're an elementary teacher either, but you know, you can be full of joy. You help those kids know Christ, all right? It's not about being rich anyway, right? But the world thinks that, do they not? The world thinks that. Zacchaeus suddenly didn't care. I don't care what you think. You know what happens within a church setting? The first thing you think about, what will other people think? I loved when Ron came up the other week. I'm still trying to figure out why he came up. No, but you know what? I love this. Ron didn't. He got over it. I loved when Stephen Tillery came up a few weeks ago. I love this. These are men that are leaders in our church, right? And you know this? It's harder for you guys, right? What will people think? I'll let you know when I find out. But it's this. I love that. It's not me trying to recruit people to come forward. But you know this? If you need to come forward to get things right with God, you come forward, you stop worrying about what people think. It's not me promoting that. This coming forward will not make things right. I tell you this, you do need to codify in your life, burn in your heart that, oh God, by your grace, I want today to help me to be different on this particular issue, whatever that might be. You don't have to come forward. But I'll tell you this, we worry about what people will think. I worry about what people will think. I need to stop it. We need to stop it. Zacchaeus didn't. Dramatic repentance, look at verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. This is a guy that the Bible says was rich. When the Bible says somebody was rich, there's not a ton of people that the Bible says were rich. When it says they were rich, they were like super uber loaded. You know, Solomon, Abraham, you know, Joseph of Arimathea, they were loaded, right? When the Bible says they're rich, they're like loaded, right? I'm assuming that Zacchaeus was the richest guy in Jericho. He was Jeff Bezos. Right? I think he was. He just wasn't delivering packages. He was taking your money. That's what Jeff Bezos does. He was rich. He was loaded. He got right with God and he said, half of it's gone. Money suddenly didn't mean at least half of what it used to. He said, I'll give it to the poor. That's not why he went to heaven. That was a result of him receiving Christ. That was a result of him being saved. He said, all of a sudden, right away, money doesn't mean anything. And then he says a second thing. I love the if. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He could have said, and the people that I have taken by false accusation, I restore fourfold. But he said, those that I have. You got to love this. He knew the Old Testament that if he stole, he would restore fourfold. He was going to go back, and these guys kept ledgers. Who did I rip off? And he said, I stole 10,000 bucks from you. You get 40. Let me just tell you, people might listen to Zacchaeus then, you think? Not that he could buy their salvation. He probably could buy them listening to what happened to you, little man. I want to tell you, he didn't care. He just said, Christ was worthy. You see, I started off today, I even preached a little bit yesterday at the wedding. Is Christ your delight? See, don't assume that he's the preacher's delight. We can get entangled with self-centeredness. We can get entangled with self-pity. We can get entangled with just, it doesn't have to be deep, dark sin. I'm tired. Nobody seems to care. People care, but you know how it goes. You know how you do that in your own head. You make stuff up. And I've forgotten how wonderful Christ is. You see, when we know how wonderful Christ is, we will have dramatic repentance. We'll have fruit for repentance. We will desire to see Jesus. We will have great effort that says nothing will get in the way. I'm going to see Jesus today. Nothing will stop me. We'll have enthusiastic obedience and our lives will be different. I want to finish with this, and then I only have a couple minutes. Verse 9. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Jesus was also given a message. He said this, salvation didn't come because he was a Jew. Salvation came because of faith in me. That's what Jesus said. And so even though he's and Jesus marveled because, remember this in John 1, it said he came unto his own and his own received him not. Zacchaeus was one of the few that did. And he said, salvation is coming to this house today. And then one more good thing about Jesus. For the Son of Man, messianic title from Daniel, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost this morning? You see, you cannot really enjoy the Lord until He is yours, until you've received Him, until you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you can try to manufacture religion, and that's what so many people that go to church, they just do it because they're supposed to. They have to. I need to. But where's the delight? Did you ever have joy? If you've never had joy, that's a red flag. Every new believer says, whatever he wants, I'm good. Then we get hardened and we have to get softened again by these true accounts and to see a man that truly valued Jesus, a man that truly loved Jesus, a man that truly was in awe of Christ, and he said, nothing else matters. I want Christ. I love Christ. I'll give it all away. I'm not encouraging you to give your money away. I'm just telling you this. What is it that is keeping you from delighting in Christ? For some of you, it's because you're not saved. I challenge you. Can you remember when you delighted in Christ? Can you? I've got to believe that when someone's saved, there's a joy. That there's nothing better than Jesus Christ. And I know the cares of this world and the challenges of this world can cloud that. But have you ever had joy in the Lord? Or has it always been a burden? I got to go to church. I feel terrible. I haven't told anybody about Jesus. And that guy never stops on that. He is obnoxious. Maybe. But I'll tell you this. When we see Jesus, He's awesome. Yes. He's amazing. You see, you pray for me. If one person gets this message today, I need it. I want to see Christ. And I'm not talking about any feeling. I'm not talking about any fireworks. I'm just talking, I want to see Him like Zacchaeus did. And I'll tell you this, this is how I see Christ. I want to know Him. I know this. I want to be quicker. Oh, Mr. Moody, start getting moody. It's probably because my wife. No. I get moody because I'm not focused on Christ. Life is hard. Tears aren't terrible. There's a time for tears. I will tell you this. Christ is the best part of life. Do we have the zeal of Zacchaeus? Do we have the desire of Zacchaeus? I'll never think of Zacchaeus the same again. When I think of Zacchaeus, I'll think of a guy that said, nothing will get in my way to see Jesus Christ. I don't care what people think. I don't care. I'm going to make it right. And I don't care if they don't like me. Jesus is all I want. We have 10 Zacchaeus in this room. Fairfield can be turned upside down. Nothing will get in our way. Jesus is everything. Let's pray.